You're listening to SBS News.
With 2022 marking the third year of the pandemic, researchers are starting to better understand how prolonged social isolation has affected the developing minds and bodies of children. Viren Desar is a neurodevelopmental paediatrician at Hasbro Children's Hospital in Rhode Island, which continues to be one of the hardest hit regions by COVID-19. At Brown University, Associate Professor Desar has been studying a group of 290 children from around the age of one for several years since before the COVID-19 pandemic started. He noted a significant reduction in verbal, motor and overall cognitive performance, which was more marked in males and children from lower socioeconomic families.
When I say the motor skills, I don't mean the gross motor of walking, running, jumping, crawling, those sorts of skills. More around the fine motor, you know, how they can actually manipulate some objects, move things around, sort of use some of those processing skills to manipulate objects in their environment. And some of those skills had dropped down by a standard deviation, sometimes by close to two standard deviations. Similarly, with some of the more global early learning composites, those skills had dropped down as well. And I think it was to do with the fact that they likely didn't have as much of a sort of a structured opportunity to kind of gain those skills.
According to the children's organisation UNICEF, the impacts of the pandemic are expected to be the most damaging for children in the poorest countries and in the poorest neighbourhoods, and for those in already disadvantaged or in vulnerable situations. Associate Professor Desar says many young children found their carers and routines changed unexpectedly during the pandemic.
In the process of developing that autonomy, sort of finding their own space in this world today, and suddenly they were thrown off, and isolated from people. So we were seeing some escalation of, you know, mood issues, of anxiety, difficulty with, being able to sort of just follow directions that were given to them because attention spans were kind of also disrupted.
At the Sydney's Children's Hospital in Australia, clinical psychologist Adam Gustella has also been observing similar trends arising from prolonged social isolation. In the year ending July 2020, emergency department visits in New South Wales for self-harm and suicidal ideation rose 31% for those under the age of 18, compared to the same period in 2019. Professor Gustella says the rise in emergency department visits for children's mental health crises is troubling.
And so in the hospital, we have certainly seen, and hospitals across the country, increased presentations, emergency presentations for young people, and that increase is particularly relevant to youth and has particularly been seen in the Sydney Kids Network in young females, regardless of socioeconomic status. It's been associated with an increase in suicidal ideation and emergency responses. There's also been an increase, a particular increase for children with vulnerabilities and neurodevelopmental difficulties and divergence, if you like. So it's those vulnerable groups that have been particularly impacted.
With 6-month waiting lists to see mental health professionals, Professor Gustella says emergency departments have become the front line.
It's a complex picture because, you know, part of the reason for the emergency presentation is that families have often had nowhere else to go. They haven't been able to book in to see the psychologist. They haven't been able to book in to see the psychiatrist, which would normally take the referral. And so hospitals have become the only place of support for many families.
Dr. Anthea Rhodes is a paediatrician at the Royal Children's Hospital Melbourne and director of the hospital's National Child Health Poll. The quarterly survey of 2,000 Australian households with children explored their experience with remote learning as well as their mental and physical health. Dr. Rhodes says children from poorer, vulnerable homes were more at risk.
Children who might already have some underlying difficulties with their learning or their social skills having really deteriorated because they've had long periods of time at home, they might have lost the ability to build on their skills. They've developed perhaps increased anxiety. They might have been in a home environment that's incredibly stressful that might be related to financial stress, as we've seen in, you know, around a quarter of families across Australia during the pandemic.
Adam Gustella, who's also a professor at the University of Sydney Brain and Mind Centre, says the ongoing risk from COVID-19 will need to be managed in a way that will allow children to attend school.
It's really important that schools do remain open because I think, you know, we're seeing the effects of children not getting everyday interactions, everyday peer interactions, and that having, at this stage, a short-term but hopefully not long-term impact on development. It's about learning how to be flexible and adapt to changing environments and, you know, has more direct effects in terms of developing skills, whether it's motor-based skills through sport or cognitive-based skills through play.
He's urging state and federal policy makers to work together to ensure there's improved access to psychologists for children, parents and teachers, as well as supports to ensure adequate staff members in the mental health sector, particularly as children reintegrate to full-time classroom learning. Dr. Rhodes says while there's been increased attention and funding for children's mental health over the last 6 months in various states, there's room for improvement.
Would I say there's enough? Look, until we see every child thriving, then there's never enough. So it needs to be something that we continue to invest in. We need to understand how we can do this in the best way possible for every child, and not forgetting that those upstream factors of a society where families as a whole, parents and then subsequently children have access to good financial, stable situations will make the biggest difference ultimately to each child getting the best start they can.
Listeners seeking support can contact these organisations: Lifeline on 13 11 14, Suicide Callback Service on 1300 659 467, or Kids Helpline on 1800 55 1800. Biwa Kwan, SBS News.